This morning we're going to turn to a couple of passages in Scripture. Just if you're a guest here this morning or you've been away for a little bit, I've been doing a series of messages on the core values of this church. Our church has eight core values, and we're going through them one by one. And we're calling this as part of a series called Growing a Healthy Church. And so the core value that we're focusing on this morning is called functional structures. And maybe you can put that up on the screen there in a second, Harrison. And so that's the core value we're focusing on this morning. And I'd like you to just join me in reading through that core value. Let's read that together.
We will develop structures that promote an ongoing multiplication of the ministry. The structures will change as times and circumstances require.
Okay, with that in mind, we're going to read, first of all, from Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, and then also from 1 Corinthians 14. Hear then the word of God. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some grain, heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" And then also a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 26. "What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should wait carefully. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophet are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people." And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, a surgeon, an engineer, and a politician were debating which of their professions was the best, and the discussion turned to which was the oldest. The surgeon said, "Eve was made from Adam's rib, and that, of course, was a surgical procedure. Obviously, surgery is the oldest profession." The engineer said, "Yes, but before that, order was created out of chaos, and that most certainly was an engineering job." The politician smiled and said triumphantly, "Aha, and who do you think created the chaos?" Now, perhaps that's something we can all agree on. When we consider on what's happening around us in this world, we can say with confidence that politicians really know how to make things chaotic. But let's not pin all the chaos on the politicians. We can also find a lot of chaos in the workplace and in people's homes today. We can sometimes even find chaos within the church today. Now, I will admit Now, when I looked at preaching at the eight core values of this church, they all seemed fairly straightforward to me, except for one. When I looked at this core value regarding functional structures, I thought to myself, what am I going to do with this one? No scripture passage immediately came to mind for me, and so there was some chaos going on in my mind as I struggled to come up with a preaching plan for this core value. Now I knew, and I still know, that this core value about functional structures, that's important. I know that, and so I'll give it my best shot here this morning. Now, for some people, talk about structure, that might seem like a boring topic. But you know, structure is needed in our lives a whole lot more than we sometimes realize. God created structure, and God doesn't want us to go through life in a haphazard, disorganized kind of way. Without a doubt, we as a church, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit's promptings to move in a fresh new direction as a church. But that doesn't mean that we need to throw structure out of the window. The goal for this church is not to be like another church in town or to be like a church in a neighboring community. Instead, we want to ask, what does God want for this church with all the different personalities and with all the gifts of this particular body of believers? How does God want this group of people to be nurtured in our faith and our service for Jesus? How does God want us as a body here of this church to reach out to the people of this community with the good news of Jesus? And for all that, we need to have certain structures in place. Now, the factors that make up the structures of a church will vary. Churches can have a different feel, a different sense of identity. Not every church will focus on the same things. And maybe some of you, maybe at times, you don't always like the way that we do certain things in this church. And you know what? That's okay. I'll admit that sometimes as a pastor, not everything always happens in this church the way I would always prefer it. And you know what? I'm okay with that. There needs to be some give and take within a church to have a healthy atmosphere within the body of Christ. Just because something isn't my preference doesn't make it wrong. Now, to be a healthy church, we need to have a church that's sitting on a solid foundation that's rooted in the good news of God's salvation in Jesus. That we keep our central focus on helping people to come to know Jesus. That we seek to help people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, as we say in our mission statement. And so what we need to realize is that how we do things isn't always the most important thing. What's more important is why we do things as a church. Now, some churches have had the same structures for the past 50 or 100 years, and it's holding them back from being the kind of church God wants them to be. And that sometimes leads to the temptation of worshiping the structure instead of God himself. And we see that happening in the text in Mark 2, where the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jews at that time, how the Pharisees got bent out of shape when they saw Jesus' disciples picking some grain and popping it into their mouths as something to eat. And to the Pharisees, this was scandalous. How could Jesus allow them to work on the Sabbath like that? I mean, for them to rub some grain in their hands like that to the Pharisees, that was an act of harvesting grain. And that was simply not allowed for the Pharisees with their strict rules about what someone could or couldn't do on the Sabbath. Now Jesus looks through their legalistic rules and regulations And Jesus reminds them how David once entered the house of God to eat the bread that was meant only for the priest to eat. And guess what, says Jesus to the Pharisees? That didn't disqualify David from becoming Israel's greatest king in the Old Testament. Which leads Jesus to say in Mark 2, verse 27 and 28, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Which then enabled Jesus to point them to the true purpose of the Sabbath. That it was a day to be restored physically and spiritually by resting from their work and to put the focus on their relationship with God. It was a day to be set aside for worship, not a day to get bent out of shape about man-made rules and regulations. You see, the Pharisees, they ended up worshiping the structures instead of God himself. And the structures of their religion had become an end in itself. And Jesus, the Messiah that they were hoping to see one day, Jesus, that Messiah, he didn't fit in those structures that the Pharisees had constructed. Now structure is important, but only when it functions with the right focus. I mean, think of the business world. Business owners, they need to think of having more functional structures all the time. Otherwise, they wouldn't survive. A business can produce the same product year after year, but any good business owner will always keep looking for ways to do things more effectively to try to increase the profit margin. And the same thing happens within the world of sports. Take, for example, the game of hockey. It's a different game than it was 20 years ago. The game is structured differently, and what worked 20 years ago won't be all that effective in today's game. It's the same in the church. The message of the gospel doesn't change. But guess what? The way that we package the gospel, the way that we present the gospel needs to change within a changing world in which we live. Now, we don't want our commitment to certain structures to get in the way of how we serve and worship Jesus, or more important, of how we try to make the gospel relevant to the younger generation and to the people of this community. We don't change the gospel. We just look for creative ways in which we can present it to people. And we want to be a church that's intentional about nurturing the faith of our children and young people while also reaching out to the people of this community with the good news of God's salvation in Jesus. And we need to stay open to how God can lead us through His Holy Spirit to structure things in new and fresh ways so that we can be used by God to touch the people of this community. So the challenge is to keep a healthy balance between effective structures and an openness to the Holy Spirit's leading. Without functional structures, we can all too easily fall into a chaotic mess without any boundaries. And that actually seemed to be the case in the Church of Corinth when the Apostle Paul addresses the issue of worship in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, in contrast to the legalistic structures of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, the Corinthian church, they were into structure. It was a kind of free-for-all in the Corinthian church in those days. In fact, people were so focused on expressing their own individual needs and their own desires that they weren't always considering what was best for the church as a whole. And at the center of this was the use and the abuse of the spiritual gift of tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is really an unlearned foreign language that's typically not understood by the person who's actually speaking it. It's a spiritual language that God gives to certain believers. And Paul sensed that when the Corinthians, when they were speaking in tongues, that they were doing it more to show off their superior sense of spirituality than an effort to try to build up and to edify the church as a whole. And it was this exhibition of trying to one-up each other that Paul was concerned about. And Paul says, guess what? Don't be focusing on yourself in your worship and in your sense of spirituality. We always need to focus on God and giving Him the honor and the glory that He deserves in our worship. Now, I find it really interesting. As Paul says this, he doesn't stop them from speaking in tongues. Paul doesn't want to stifle the work of God's Spirit in their midst. Paul knows that the speaking of tongues, that that's a spiritual gift that people can use for God's glory. But Paul instead provides some guidelines in verse 27 and 28 for how to use this gift of speaking in tongues in their worship service. Paul says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. And if there is no interpreter, says Paul, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Why is this so important? As Paul says in verse 26, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That's Paul's primary concern. And as always, Paul's heart is focused on steering people into a living and dynamic relationship with Jesus. And Paul doesn't want anything to stand in the way of people hearing the good news of God's grace, of God's forgiveness, and God's salvation in Jesus. And then a few verses later, Paul says very much the same thing about the spiritual gift of prophecy. And again, it seems like some of the Corinthian Christians were trying to outdo each other in speaking out messages from God in their worship service. And again, Paul doesn't want to quench the work of God's Spirit in their midst. Leading Paul to say in verse 29 and 31, two or three prophets should speak and the others should wait carefully when it's said. And if a revelation comes to someone sitting down, the first speaker must stop. For you can all prophecy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. I thought about that. I thought, imagine if we did that in our worship services today. So the pastor's preaching away up front, and suddenly someone stands up and says, listen, I have a message from God for the church that I want to share with the congregation. And so the pastor sits down and lets that person take over. Imagine if we were to do that. And I thought to myself, I'm not sure how I would react in that situation. And we certainly wouldn't want to turn the service into a free-for-all. But we do want to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading in our worship and in every other part of the way we do church. And we want to balance that with what Paul says in verse 33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Or as Paul says a few verses later in verse 40, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And that's always the challenge as we do church, to create that balance between freedom and structure. As a church, we want to stay open to the Holy Spirit's leading, but an important aspect of this core value is that we don't do things just because it's the thing to do or because everyone else is doing it. We want to try to prayerfully discern where and how the Holy Spirit is leading us into the kind of ministry that Jesus wants us to do as a church. We want to be a church that's focused on God's purposes for us as His people in this community. And so a guiding principle for this church is that we're not going to start a ministry just for the sake of starting a ministry. We'll only start a new ministry if someone feels called to do so, and when that fits in with the overall vision of the church. That's something that happened a year ago when we started our GEMS ministry. GEMS was started by Sarah and Karen with a desire to reach out to young girls from the community with the good news of Jesus. And we said as a board, we will support you in this in every way, because we see how that fits in the vision of this church. And so the key in any part of the church is that we always keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That we keep our focus on the big picture of what Jesus wants for this church to look like. that we always do things for a reason as a church. That we continually ask ourselves, does this fit in with the overall purpose and mission of the church? Does this help us to nurture people in their faith and their service for Jesus? Does this help us to experience God in a deeper and more meaningful way in our worship? Does this help us to serve our community better? Does this help us to be a better witness to the people of this community? Does this help us to bring the good news of God's forgiveness and healing and salvation in Jesus to the broken and the hurting people of this community? Can we improve in those areas as a church? Of course we can. But I will say that I appreciate the genuine desire within this church that we don't let structures get in the way of our freedom to do ministry for God's kingdom purposes, both within this church and in this community. So may God receive all the glory He deserves as we prayerfully look to the Holy Spirit to guide us to new and better ways to do ministry in the name of Jesus in this community. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you for the way that you created structure throughout this world that we live in. And that we see structure as something that's good. Because you are a God of order, you are a God of stability, and you are a God that we can depend on. And we see that even in the structure of the world around us. Thank you, Lord God, that you have called us to be part of your church. That you've called us to continue the work of Jesus in this world. That you want us to be used by your Holy Spirit to point people to the good news of your forgiveness, your salvation in Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to be open to your Holy Spirit at all times. That we allow your Holy Spirit to lead us as we strive to further your kingdom purposes here in this community. We pray that you will show us where and how to structure the ministries of this church to fit in with that within that bigger picture of how you want us to use us, how you want to use us to nurture people into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with Jesus. Lord God, show us where and how to expand our vision for how you want us to, how do you want to use us to touch the lives of people with the gift of your love and your grace in Jesus. And Lord, help us to encourage each other to focus on that task of being a light for Jesus in this community. So we pray that in His name.